Psalm chapter number 79. And I said that this is a believer's preamble that's found in Psalm 79. And when I got to this chapter a couple weeks ago, knowing that's what we would have this afternoon going through the book of Psalms, I just wasn't very happy with it. And as I would read it, I would say, God, I don't want to go here. I don't want to be here. But when I got to verse number 13, I say, God, I'm so thankful that as a church we go through the Bible in order. And we've seen God so many times shepherd and lead us through doing that. When we leave the choice to God, he always does best, right? And I'm so excited about this. My nephew Bryce is going to come up here at this time. And because when I got to verse number 13, it kept saying, we thy people. And I thought, that sounds kind of familiar, right? We thy people. And it made me think of the preamble to the Constitution. And I thought, if there were a kid that would know the preamble of the Constitution, it would be my nephew Bryce. And I don't know if that's true or not. We're going to know here in a moment, all right? And I'm right here. I got the words because I didn't memorize it in school like I was supposed to. But we'll listen to Bryce share the preamble of the Constitution. Oh, you want to read it? Oh, okay. It's a good thing that I did print it out. Okay, here we go.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Nice. Very good, Bryce. We didn't have a Barney Fife situation where I had to help you say it there. So the preamble there, it starts off with, we the people. I really love a good rally cry around who you are and your identity. I just love it when it shows up in the Bible where it says, we, thy people, like it will in this chapter, and lays it out. All of us can drift away from it. The eyes of people looking at you. Actually, your eyes upon me right now feel different than they have ever before. And more now than ever, I have to get back to who I am in Christ Jesus, who we are as God's people. The most important thing that any of us will ever be is a child of God. The most significant identity that you will ever have is as a child of God, as you know him. I had a basketball coach that was so great about giving a good rally cry to help us remember who we are. We were playing a game and we weren't playing our best. We weren't representing the school well, representing Christ well. And at halftime, I was headed to the locker room and the coach said, he pointed to the bus. And so instead of going to the locker room, he put us all on the bus. And so there we are sitting on the bus like, what's going to happen? The bus driver came on and we were leaving. We left the high school. We were going down the road. He wasn't saying a word. We were just driving down the road. We were all sitting there with our heads down thinking, I don't remember games ending like this, but apparently our game is over. And then he had been watching his clock. He knew how far he needed to go. And he stood up and he gave it this challenge. And he told us this was not how we were supposed to live. This was not how we were supposed to act. And he gave it to us. And by the time we started yelling, we are warriors. That was the name of our school, which is better than eagles, because why would you want to be a bird in a moment like that, right? And we said, we are warriors. And we were yelling that. And we're like, turn the bus around. And he turned it around. And we pull into the high school. And as the bus stops, you hear the buzzer going off. And the team gets out. And they're just yelling. And they're just all fired up. And they run into the gym. But in my excitement, I was running. And I slipped and fell. And I cut up my arms really good. And I spent a good bit of the second half in the locker room getting taped and bandaged up to finish the game. But he could do that as well as anybody I know, give this kind of rally cry. And when we get to verse number 13, I hope you feel it in the same way. I needed today's passage. It's timely. I needed it. I believe that you'll benefit from it as well. But we cannot race to the end. We must walk through this song of lament to really benefit from it. This is a lament as a group of people, a communal lament. Remember in Psalm 74 when we saw that the temple had been destroyed, and it was just painful. We talked about this habitational cruelty, and it was just weighed heavy upon us. Well, then we also continue in chapter 78. We go through 77. We have a lament that ends well with God leading us by the hand. And then we get to this one. And when we walk into this first verse, we see that Babylon has destroyed Jerusalem. It is just in heaps. And then not only is the city in destruction, but we hear just some horrific things said about the people. And so we get a broader picture. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. And then you're going to read with a strong voice verse number 13 with me, and then I'll pray. Psalm 79, verse 1. O God, The heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy servants unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We're become as a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon thy kingdoms have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us who are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore shall the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our own sight by revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. Would you all read verse number 13 with me? So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generation. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as your people, people that have been bought with the blood of your Son, people that confess your name, Lord. We come to you today, Lord, as a church. And we come to you knowing that we are the sheep of your pasture, and we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks today. We establish a testimony, and we pray that it will show forth to all generations. Lord, not just to all generations that will grow up here in this community, but to all generations of those in the Brown family, Lord, that will go to Turkey, and to the generations of those that will be changed by the gospel, Lord, as a result of their ministry. Lord, we praise your name, and we want it to sound so loudly and so long that it continues, Lord, from this place until you return. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. First statement that it says, so we thy people. So that's what I put there, we thy people. Instead of we the people, we thy people. And for you to get to verse number 13 and to say that after just the darkest of images being given, just the saddest of situations, a city is destroyed. So bad, did you hear, that there wasn't even enough people to bury the bodies, that there were people that were leaving and that they were left there in the street, that the blood was shed like as unto water. And just a horribly dark picture is shown. But then in verse number 13 is this great wording which says, so we thy people. The only way that you can think, the only way that you could ever speak biblically is to think biblically. I said that in our life group today as we prayed for Pastor Gardner, is that he not only preaches biblically, but he thinks biblically. And even though the people had suffered a great calamity, they are nevertheless the people of God, and they can continue to appeal to him. And so whatever happened to them, it wasn't because they did not belong to God, but because they did. And so even after the most horrific thing in their life, they were able to cry out to God and say, how long? Because they did not forget that they belonged to him. And it's highlighted for us in these first two verses. It says, O God, the heathen come, thine inheritance, thine holy temple have they defiled thee. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The bodies of thy servants have they given to meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. They did not let the hardships of life keep them from knowing that this is our Father's world, that this world belongs to him. Satan would love tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it says in Romans, to separate us from the God of, from the love of our God. But this psalmist said, even in the darkest hour, I know this is your city. I know that we are your people. So even when you feel like verses 3 and 4 that we have described, you can still come back to God and speak to him and ask the question that we've seen many times in Psalms so far, which is, how long, Lord? But they would sing unto the Lord and they would believe. Because many people, and you've met them, if you'll take the advice of the pastor on Thursday and you begin to ask people if you can study the Bible with them, and you say, hey, you want to study the Bible? That's what I do. Don't you just love that statement? If you begin asking people like this, time and time again, you're going to find that people had a faith in God and then a calamity came in their life. Something bad happened in their life. Their grandmother died. Their mother died. Something died. And then they separate what they believe about the world and their faith in God, because they now cannot believe or trust in God because something bad has happened. But verses 3 and 4 are as bad as anything that you could ever imagine. And what is the psalmist saying? How long, O Lord? This is your world. This is my Father's world. And we know that, and we sing it together. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You're sovereign over us, not disconnecting our belief in God when things are bad. And in verse number 5, we say, "So we are thy people. We are his possession." And we take great joy in that, but also he is jealous for his people. Verse 5, "How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thou jealousy burn like fire?" God is not jealous of anyone or anything. He is wholly self-sufficient, and he needs nothing, but he is jealous over his land and his people. Exodus 20, verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." He is a God that is a jealous God. These were his people. What was happening to them wasn't because he had forgotten about them, is because he didn't forget about them. They were his possession, and they took comfort in that. When we see the effects of sin, and we look at it here in the psalm, and we often think, what I'm dealing with is not the effect of my sin, but we know all that we deal with in life is the effects of sin. All the way back in the garden, the way in which we're living life, the situation of Jerusalem at the time, the situation of our lives are not as God had intentionally planned for man. But because of the curse of sin, we deal with things. We deal with hardships and separations from this in our lives. But God is jealous, and he has a love for his children. Ezekiel 39:25 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and be jealous for my holy name." He is jealous for his name. He hasn't forgotten about it. Joel 2:18 says he's jealous for his land. Zechariah 1:14 says he's jealous for his inheritance. That the psalmist here knew that in the middle of it, God hadn't forgot about them. He hadn't forgot about the land. He hadn't forgot about his glory. But the situation was not God forsaken. And so when we can say, "We thy people," can cry out to God and say, "How long?" So in a time when you're suffering loss, you shouldn't have a loss and a closeness to God. You should be drawing closer to him. That same basketball coach that I told you about earlier, when I was in the hospital at 16 years of age, and I was just losing a lot of weight and being just really sick, he calls me one day. I'm on a phone, and I hear on the other end as he's just slamming it down on the table over and over again. And he finally stops, and I'll say, "What's going on? What's going on?" And he says, "Young man, you're like silver being tried in the fire. God has a purpose for this. God doesn't waste suffering in your life." And through his help and through God's word, have the opportunity to draw closer to God as to falling away as many people would. And so we're distinctive in this world because we've called upon his name. Verse 6, "Pour out thou wrath upon the children that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name." So there's a distinction made. It says, God, the enemy hasn't called upon your name, but we are a people that have called upon your name. See, we're not, all of us in this world can't say we are thy people. We may be all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. But those of us in here that have called upon his name, we can say we thy people. We are people that are different in this world. We're like children making a request. Like Selah, who would come to me when we were on vacation and say, "Dad, I think it's time to get ice cream." And I say, "Selah, you always think it's time to get ice cream, right? Not every meal has ice cream after it, but on vacation it might, all right?" And so she could ask things of me and ask for help because she is my child and she can come to me with requests. And unlike the priest of Baal that would be cutting themselves and dancing around when something horrible was going on, this psalmist, after looking at this, that the most horrible situation, he doesn't feel like he has to cut himself and do all these different things. He can just cry out to the God of heaven and say, "God, how long are we going to have to deal with them, or with this? How long are we going to have to deal with the enemy?" We could speak to God, and it's such a wonderful thing to be called we thy people as the children of God. Sometimes in the Bible study program I use, it will list a hymn that fits with a psalm, all right? And Zach was asking me when I was eating so many tacos out there, he says, aren't you a little bit worried if you eat so much food before you preach that you might be a little bit cloudy-minded? And I said, well, here's the good thing. So will you, all right? And so right now, I may be speaking at like half the speed we normally do, but none of you even know, all right? And I could have read Dr. Seuss and called it a day, and y'all probably wouldn't know any different. But I am losing some of you here, all right? But in this old hymn, and I could get Jeff Bush up here to sing it for us, all right? But this hymn is called We Gather Together. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. I'm going to have you read verse number 13 here with me again, but it's wonderful. It is to say that Asaph says, even though blood is in the streets like water, even though there's so many people dying we can't even bury them, even though Jerusalem is in a heap, you did not forget your own, and I'm one of yours. And so when he says, so we thy people, it's so strong. No matter what's going on at any time in your life, you get to go to God, and you got to say, God, I am one of your children, so I can come to you. I know you haven't forgotten me. I know you haven't forgotten your glory. So let's read verse number 13 together once again. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So the next words there, and the sheep of thy pasture, very much with we, thy people, but more specific, reminding us as sheep, we are defenseless of the problems that come as in verse number 1. That comes to all people. The people of Judah here have been slaughtered by their enemies, and God's name had been slandered, because every battle is ultimately a war for his glory. Verse number 4, it says, we have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. So not only did the enemy destroy their cities, but it was never about buildings. It's never about buildings. When you're reading about building temples, it's never about temples. It's never about brick and mortars. And it's not even about us. It's about the glory of God. And so when they destroyed the temple and people looked at them and they're going to say, where is your God? And they're going to deride them. They're going to say, where is the glory of your great God? And where is the glory of our great God when our cities are destroyed and where there's people that are in the streets? The glory of our God is going to be found in the way we respond, and we say, we thy people, the sheep of your pasture. We're going to give thanks unto you for all generations. Because the enemy never took from them what they were able to do, which was to bring glory to God. I mentioned this at the special service we had a few weeks ago at Pastor's house. And some of you, Sherry P., we were together, I believe, at Pastor's house when he took us through the Bible, right? He gave us a story of God's glory from Genesis to Revelation, but it doesn't stop there. From Genesis to Revelation, to my story and to your story, the story of life is the story of God's glory. It's not about buildings, it's not about prosperity, it's about God's people responding to him in worship and him receiving that. And so we are sheep, which is the fenceless and weak, but what do sheep get? Say it with me, what do sheep get? Shepherds. Sheep get shepherds. So even though we are sheep, we are shepherds. And so verse 11, let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die. The greatness of thy power our shepherd has. We have a just shepherd. Verse 12, and render to our neighbors sevenfold into the bosom the reproach wherewith thou hast reproached thee, O Lord. They cry out to their God who is a shepherd. They know that he is strong. They know that he is just, and in due season, God would serve justice. And so he is not only our creator, but he is our shepherd. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. It is he that has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so we're reminded of this often in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 77, verse 20, it says, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, taking them through the Red Sea. God guided his people. The shepherd is ever present in their lives. In Psalm 78, 20, God raised up David from among the sheep. In verse 20, it says, verse 70, it says, he chose David, also his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. God led them through the wilderness, and then he leads them through the conquer Canaan, and then he continues leading them. But God's hand was not short. He was guiding them as a shepherd. And God uses people in our lives. 2 days ago at the wedding of Charity and Harrison Crisp, we saw Jeff Mize walk Charity down the aisle. Typically, the dad walks the daughter down the aisle. In this case, Charity was walking. She was moving fast, all right? She was excited, and that's what happens sometimes. But I think about that, and I've not been to that. But there's going to be a time in my life that I'm going to stand at the back of a church, Lord willing, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to lead my daughter to the end, to a man that she chooses. Oh, man, I'm getting off topic here, but this is a problem for me here, all right? That she made the choice, but I am going to lead her to this person. But, you know, she may lead me, as Charity led Brother Jeff down there, but up until that point, I am to shepherd, and I am to guide her, and I am to lead her and how to make that decision. So I do all the leading, but then there's going to come a day, and I'm going to have to take a 30-foot walk and lead her to the decision that she has made from her heart. And I pray I get the joy that many of you dads have experienced in here of doing that. But God is using me in her life right now. The shepherd of heaven, the God of heaven, is using me in my kids' life to shepherd them. And the same for you as well, that God has people in your life, and God uses you in other people's lives because God uses this. God uses us to help shepherd and guide other people. So God will always be a good shepherd, and this is true, which is why the psalm could rightly end with praise. Let's read verse number 13. Once again, Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So here's some application for you today. It's the last part of the verse. We will give thanks forever and show forth his praise to all generations. The part of the verse that I wanted to run to, but you don't get to verse number 13 if you don't go through the first 12 verses, if you don't recognize how incredible it is to get to say, we are thy people, we are the sheep of your pasture. And because of that, because of you walking us through hard times, we want to give thanks to all generations. God has called his people to praise them. Isaiah 43:21, this people have I formed for myself, for they shall show forth my praise. Speaking of the children of Israel, God had set them aside to show forth his praise, to be a light unto the Gentiles and to all nations. But today, being found in Jesus, we as the church have this opportunity to show forth his praises. We are a city set upon a hill. Listen to Asaph's promise that he makes in verse number 11. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve those that are appointed to die. Then verse number 13, and he says, and we will show forth thy praise to all generations. Those of you that are reading through the Bible, as Pastor told us to, from the beginning to the very end, there's a group of people that you're going to find many times. Asaph will leave Babylon for Judah when the captivity will end. Ezra 2:41, the singers, the children of Asaph, 128. Nehemiah 7:44, the singers of the children of Asaph, 148. And so they will continue. Asaph says, God, we will praise your holy name for generations to come. And Asaph gets to see that. Throughout the Old Testament, the singers are there. And so it's been said many different ways, but as we say it right now, that there's times where God will bury his singers, but he never buries his song. And it continues from generation to generation that it was taught, and they established a kingdom. And we can say, we, thy people, we have a work to do. Not to form a more perfect union, Bryce. None could be any greater than unity found in Jesus. Not to establish justice, which can only be found in God. But we, thy people, have a calling, which is to show forth thy praise to all generations. I knew it was going to be a challenge keeping you guys awake, so I have a little object lesson in here. Is there anybody in here that's expecting a child, all right? Anybody in here that is expecting a child that would be willing to come up? Natalie thinks she found somebody, but that person's not making eye contact here with me. Thought I might have more options in here, and I haven't embarrassed Catherine in an illustration in a long time, all right? And okay. And let's see. Let's find. I'll go a different direction with this, okay? That's not going out. We got somebody else. That's right, Amber. Come up here. You and John, come up here. All right. You two, come up here. Because in this psalm, we need all of you. Okay, so you're going to represent. This is going to be weird. This is good. I wanted to represent one of the youngest people in our church and one of the oldest. And in you three, it looks like we have found all that we need. All right? Every generation. All right. Amber, how old are you?
30.
As of yesterday? 30 years old. Okay. I need somebody, so a generation of men about 20 years. They say, can I get anybody 50 years of age that would be willing to come up here? All right. I don't think you qualify, Allie. Anybody 50 years? You think your grandpa's 50? That's adorable. All right. Anybody 50? If you're in your 50s, come on up here, all right? Somebody in their 50s. Come on, people. Well, come on, TJ. You're always willing to help. I got Miss Sherry. We got TJ. And do we have anybody that has made it to the age of 70 in the room in here? 70 in here. Still not you, Allie, all right? Anybody 70 in here? Anybody at the age? Come on, Brother Frick. Help me out here. Y'all want to get home, you better help me out, all right? And all right. So we're looking here at generations. And so what is what we're being told to do here? But we are told, men, the two representing here, that we're given a command to do something that would make an effect upon this child. Do we have a name yet? Can we name them right now? It helps so much. Yeah. All right? That the Bible gives us a command that would make a difference in an unborn child's life. And so that we're told to establish a testimony that will not only continue from Brother Frick down to TJ to people close to TJ's age here, down 30. Anybody who's 10 years of age in here? Hudson, you'll do good enough, all right? You're close enough. All right, I know you're 15, but you know, we'll go right here. You heard that, ladies. He's 15, all right? And from going down from generation to generation and even to the unborn. And I'll read this for you before they have a seat for us. But this is what we are given to do as thy people. This is what we are told to do. Psalm 78, 5 and 6, for he established the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who shall arise and declare them to thy children. Who should arise and declare them to their children? So how do we get from the faith of Brother Frick, the faith of Brother TJ, to John and even Hudson, how do we make it so this unborn child will sing the praises of the Lord? As we all arise and we give thanks to the Lord. How many of you are willing to do that? Would you raise your hand? You're willing to arise. And so before this child is even born, before he signs up in the nursery, before he goes to Awana, there's already a program in place that's going to help this child worship the God of heaven. And it's going to be passed down from generation to generation. Why? Because we are thy people. We're the sheep of the pasture. We will give thanks from generation to generation. Thank you all so much. Amber, please help your husband back to his seat, if you will, there. All right. And so we owe God our full allegiance. We are thy people. He deserves our everything. And a faith doesn't get passed down from generation to generation unless we're fully given to it. Asaph said, God, help us through this time, and my generations will worship your name, and it most certainly happened. If that's what you want, then you can't go at it half-heartedly. You have to give your entire life, and he is so worthy. We want above all that God's name would be glorified. On good days and bad days, our mission does not change. Help us, verse 9, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. The psalmist here wasn't looking at rubble of a house. He wasn't even looking at the death of people he loved. But what was he focusing on? It was his namesake. It was God's glory. So say it here, verse number 13 here with me. Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. We're going to sing it again. This week when VBS, when we're doing more than just rounding up some kids and watching Greg do funny things, we're doing so much more than that. What are we doing this week in VBS? Say it with me, verse number 13. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever, and we will show forth thy praise to all generations. And one more time, regardless of whatever season of life we go into, no matter what kind of hardships we have, no matter everything around us seems to be dark and hard, how are we going to respond? Verse number 13. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful to be able to cry out today and say, Lord, we are thy people. We are the sheep of thy pasture. And Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks that you would allow us to bring glory to your holy name. More important than anything in our lives, Lord, is that you would be glorified. And through good days, Lord, you allow us to worship you. And through bad days, you allow us to bring glory to your name. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you have called us and allow us to be your children. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I pray so much that God's word encourages you. I pray that this verse not only makes its way into your memory, but it goes deep into your heart. And as the piano player will begin to play, I would like you to make a decision in your heart right now, is that you would cry out to God, and that you would pray to him, and that you would say, God, I am your people. I am the sheep of your pasture. And because of that, I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to establish such a testimony that it will last through the generations. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as it was prayed already earlier at the beginning of the service, we are people that love Jesus. So if you're in here today and you're not able to say with this that we are thy people, that you're the sheep of his pasture, we would like to introduce you to the shepherd today. We would like to introduce you to what makes sense of all the things in your life that may appear to be nonsense. Would you take that verse, and when you run it deep into your heart, would you pray to God? Would you either find a place here at the altar or pray there at your seat? But make it your own. Make it your battle cry and dark days, that so we, that people, the sheep of your pasture, we will give thanks through the generations.